Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Lucy Hickmott.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Thursday, the 4th of April. First up, a coroner's revealed a soldier whose body was found in the River Medway after a night out may have suffered a violent or unnatural death. Kate joins me now to discuss the details. First of all, could you give me some background about the case?
Well, 25-year-old Charlie Saywell was discovered in Chatham on Tuesday, March 5th, when a worker near the river noticed his body in the mud. Police, paramedics, firefighters and the Coast Guard were called to the scene at Turk's Shipyard in Maingate Road, but the young man was already dead. He was identified using ID, which was found with him, but there's still an element of mystery over how he ended up in the water.
And what new details have emerged at the inquest opening?
It's been revealed Charlie's body was found trapped under a boat and he had rope around his legs and torso. A coroner says the cause of death was drowning, but added it was clearly a violent or unnatural death. Police have confirmed the soldier had been out with friends the previous evening before taking a taxi to his home in Brompton. However, instead of going into his accommodation, it's thought he chose to walk into Chatham Town Centre between 10 past midnight and 2:40 a.m. He's thought to have walked past Primark in the High Street and then visited a fast food outlet. Officers say Charlie may have then mistakenly got into an unidentified car nearby, where it's believed he was assaulted by the driver and suffered facial injuries. They're currently not treating his death as suspicious, but they are continuing to investigate.
So what happens next?
Well, Charlie's mum, Victoria, has issued an appeal for anyone who witnessed her son's movements during the early hours of that morning to contact police. She says the family needs answers about what happened to him. A fundraising page has been set up in his memory and so far more than £4,000 has been donated. A full inquest is due to be held on the 4th of June.
Thanks, Kate.
Kent Online reports.
A Dover woman's been left in a wheelchair after a drug designed for a five-day course was prescribed to her for years. Petra Walker Barrera was first given anti-sickness medication, metoclopramide, after having her gallbladder removed in 2008, and her resulting health issues weren't linked back to the drug until 2019. The government had issued a warning against its long-term use in 2013. She took legal action against her GPs and settled out of court for an undisclosed sum. Police are hunting the driver of a stolen car who fled the scene of a crash on the M20 near Rootham. A black Mercedes collided with a trailer early on Easter Sunday, knocking a tractor off onto the carriageway. No one was hurt. Officers are trying to trace a man who left on foot before they arrived. A woman's been arrested after jewellery was stolen from a pensioner in Swanley. The victim in her 70s had a gold chain forcibly taken after she was approached by the suspect near London Road on Tuesday afternoon. The 30-year-old from London was arrested a short time later. A man's been arrested on suspicion of dangerous driving and assaulting a member of the public near Tunbridge. The 43-year-old is believed to have been involved in a crash near Penshurst before carrying out the assault on a bystander. Officers used a drone to track him down and he was eventually found by a police dog. He's been released on bail while investigations continue. A Medway mum says more needs to be done to improve services for children with special educational needs. A report by Ofsted this week has found many are still waiting too long to be assessed with inconsistent experiences and outcomes. Leanne Jane Dale has a 15-year-old son Jack and 13-year-old daughter Katie, who both have conditions including autism, ADHD and anxiety. She's been speaking to Oliver from KMTV after reading what inspectors said about the council.
I think they need a lot more improvement than what was found in that report, in my opinion. My personal opinion, I do think there's a lot more that they could do to support families. But they always blame it on funds, money. That's what it always comes down to, money. But at the end of the day, a child's needs shouldn't come down to the cost of it. They can't help having these disabilities, that's how they are. And, well, basically, I mean, a doctor once said to me, if you need antidepressants, you need to take them, because if you've got a headache, you treat that with tablets. So a child with needs should still get the help. It's no shame on having mental health. They should be, you know, supporting these families better, and the social care side of things as well. So there should be more help there, because our social worker doesn't make much contact with us at all, considering Jack's at home all that time and not at school. That is my main concern. I do think that's a bit worrying, really.
Like, you think, like, the social care element is kind of the big...
That's lacking as well, yeah, definitely. I mean, I know there's not a lot of, and there's not a lot of respite options, and a lot of these respite centres and places aren't local. As far as I know, when I last spoke to a social worker about this, told me the nearest one was Swanley. So it's quite a way to go with a child with, like, real severe needs. If they're not going to like it, it's a long way to take them to have to come back and then go back and get them.
And when you read that report, it did say there were areas that they had improved, like mental health support for children. Do you think that these areas have actually improved in real terms, from your perspective as someone in this kind of SEND community, as it were?
We are under now for my son, under a psychologist for his medication reviews. We only got referred to them once we were without a school. I mean, they started referring him when he was at year six at the Marlborough Centre. And it wasn't till we got to about year eight that we actually got a referral done because of the fact that schools couldn't, his behaviours worsened, etc., due to his needs. And so the waiting time is horrendous to get seen by NELF initially. But now we're on a 6-monthly review. So once you're in, it's okay, you're getting the support. Well, we are, our doctor's really good. But again, I know there's other people that have been waiting a long time and they've still not even been seen yet. So I don't believe it's as good as it can be. I think they could probably make the service more efficient, really, and helpful to other parents.
Medway Council insist they're making progress in improving things for families. Adam Price is in charge of children's services.
There is a national shortage of educational psychologists, but we're doing our best. You know, there is things like Skill Mix, which we can do, which enables the actual few psychologists that we have to be able to sign off the work which more junior staff have done. And the good thing about it is we do have a clear plan. Obviously, we've had the inspection when we did, and we're on that journey. So we're going to continue with that clear plan. I'm meeting with Paul Lumsden, who's the chief nursing officer, at the Kent and Medway commissioners, and he and I both co-chair the SEND Improvement Partnership. And it's all about partnership working, partnership between education, health and social care for the benefit of our young people.
Kent Online News.
The University of Kent's president and vice-chancellor will step down in May, saying the past few years have been incredibly volatile. It comes weeks after the uni announced it'll be axing 6 of its courses due to funding pressures, which has been met with protests from hundreds of staff and students. Professor Karen Cox says she's proud of her achievements. Her deputy will stand in for now. Patients at a GP practice near Maidstone have been asked to bring their own batteries as part of cost-cutting measures. A text message has been sent out to those booked in for an ECG or blood pressure test at Marden Medical Centre that they'll have to supply their own Duracell AAs for the machines. The request comes just over a year after the prices for prescriptions were increased. A Maidstone road which has seen 22 crashes in 2 years could reopen, despite being branded a risk to life. Kent County Council closed the junction between Cranbourne Avenue and the Wheatsheaf pub 2 years ago to reduce traffic, but residents say it's made journeys dangerous and more lengthy. Bosses have agreed to carry out a review ahead of another meeting in September. Developers have been given the green light to build a 9-storey block of flats in Tunbridge Town Centre. 118 apartments will be constructed on the former car park of the River Centre, close to Tunbridge Town Lock on the River Medway. The site is at a high risk of flooding, so the ground floor of the block will be devoted to parking. Campaigners are celebrating after Folkestone Flats, they branded horrendous, was snubbed following 300 comments of opposition. The proposals for 20 flats were rejected by council bosses, but the firm behind the bid tried to do it anyway. Their attempts failed as the plans had been scrapped amid concerns of the appearance, loss of green space and lack of affordable housing. Louis Walker's spoken to Peter Kent and Dave Hall from the campaign group Stop Ebber House.
One of the things we sent to the council in the original campaign against Ebor House was a photo of the high hillside with St Leonard's Church, very picturesque, and we superimposed the block of Ebor House alongside it, and the Ebor House block was bigger than St Leonard's, which of course is a frightening sight. We totally ruined the Hythe skyline. The Hythe and Saltwood are very leafy suburb areas, conventional, very much 1950s type of building, and to have something of a modern structure of such a size, so unsympathetically built, would have been a disaster.
It's a wake-up call, I think, to developers to really think about what they're planning on doing or planning on submitting, because it realised the, shall we say, the feelings for the local community in terms of not just the local directly affecting them, but the bigger picture, because we're all travelling around within the town, and there are some wonderful places to visit in this wonderful town as well. And we don't want those green spaces destroyed.
Kent Online reports.
Top Boy star Ashley Waters has had his latest bid to expand his home in Kent rejected. It's the third time the actor, who lives near Herne Bay, has had plans for the two-storey front extension and single-storey rear extension turned down. The 41-year-old has previously said that he'll be forced to move if his building application continues to be thwarted. Two Canterbury councillors are under investigation after claims they failed to declare shares belonging to them and their wives. An anonymous tip-off stated deputy leader Michael Dixie didn't state his 100% ownership of a firm, and Lib Dem Alex Ricketts allegedly didn't state shares in two firms. Both councillors disclosed they were directors but reportedly didn't state their shares, a legal requirement if owned within the council's area. Now, the Kent Online podcast has been speaking to the owners of the pet shop in Sittingbourne about how they've managed to stay open for 30 years. Victor Robin has been in business since 1994 and has sold all sorts of animals, from bearded dragons to rabbits and birds. He's been sharing the secrets of his success with reporter Joe Crossley.
I've been running the pet shop with my wife since about 1982, I believe, we opened our first shop. We both worked in London and wanted to work for ourselves, so that's where it all began. And then we worked in that shop for 21 years, and then during that time we opened this shop in Sittingbourne. So we've been in Faversham, Sittingbourne, and now we've just opened in Raynham. So that's really kind of a broad picture of what we're doing.
And you're a family business, aren't
family
you?
Business, yeah,
family,
yeah,
business,
yeah.
So family business. Been here for a long time.
Yeah.
Obviously, you've been here for a long time. What changes have you seen over the years?
I would say that the pet trade's massively increased in both turnover and quality. Yeah, it's the pet trade now is a quality business to be in.
And what do you mean by quality?
Well, I mean, years ago, you used to sweep the floor. You know, we've been animal droppings and stuff like that, but it's become a really professional trade now. Yeah.
And what do people come in here for? Is it the food? Is it the pets? Or is it a bit of everything?
Mainly consumables, i.e. food, bedding, all sorts of accessories, stuff like that, and veterinary stuff as well. Because a lot of people come in for veterinary advice, because the vets are so expensive, I shouldn't say that maybe, but the vets are quite expensive, so we can give them advice, like first aid advice, and we have products that cover that. So.
And you were telling me the difference between maybe you and one of the big guys like Pets at Home is the expertise that you have here with your really lovely staff.
Yeah.
Just tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, we have a good staff with good knowledge, and we do actually train our staff as well, put them on training courses, so that they've all got a basic knowledge of animals, animal care, and I think you can't beat that. Some of the bigger stores, I don't like to knock the opposition, but they get such a throughput of staff that they don't get a good staff with good knowledge. So, and we have to be niche as well.
A medical service that was abruptly moved from Gillingham last year is set to make a return. The stroke department at the Medway NHS Foundation Trust was closed due to staffing issues. It'll be back at Medway Maritime Hospital by the end of August. Operation Brock will be removed from the M20 this weekend after a busy Easter period. The Contraflow system's been in place on a 13-mile stretch between Maidstone and Ashford to ease traffic. It'll be closed from junctions 9 to 8 and 7 to 9 overnight this Sunday to remove the Contraflow system. A special needs school in Gillingham has been rated good by Ofsted for the second time running. Rivermead School in Forge Lane has 180 students with a diagnosis of autism and associated difficulties. The education watchdog praised student behaviour and said staff met the individual needs of each pupil.
Kent Online Showbiz.
JB from JLS has been on our sister radio station KMFM ahead of their concert at Dreamland in Margate. The boy band will be playing on July 6th as part of the summer series. JB Gill, who lives on a farm in Kent with his wife and children, has been telling Andy Walker what fans can expect from the show.
Listen, if anybody has ever been to one of the JLS shows, this is a summer hits tour. So you can expect summer, hopefully some good weather, but I can't guarantee that. But you can definitely expect hits. You know, you're going to get all the songs. If any of you have been to any of the shows, any of the arena shows in London, perhaps Bournemouth, Brighton even, then you'll definitely be aware of, you know, kind of what our shows entail. High energy, lots of dancing, singing, hand waving. And it's a multicultural affair, a multi-generational affair. But yeah, it's going to be lots of fun. We performed at Dreamland before, so it's going to be good to be back there. And of course, as I say, like Margate holds a very special place in my heart. But also, you know, the boys and I, as I say, love coming down there, and we'll definitely be bringing the whole family, or certainly I will, because it's going to be one of my local gigs on the summer tour. So looking forward to all of that.
It is fair to say for 90 minutes, you will not be sitting down, not for a second, not when you're on stage.
Exactly.
What is your...
even if it does rain, you can guarantee that it's going to still be pretty special. I mean, it's been a while since we did an outdoor show, but, you know, we've done outdoor shows literally in the pouring rain. And it's one of those things that it's just such a unique experience, because you don't have any idea what the weather's going to bring. But as wet as you get, we'll get even wetter, and we'll just be in the moment together. That's what it's all about.
Have you got a favourite song that you perform on the tour, or does it change?
Well, I mean, I've got to go with the classic Everybody in Love. I think it's the one song everybody must hear. And we often tend to leave it till, in fact, we always tend to leave it till the very end with our encore. But yeah, I mean, it's the one that, you know, people can't fail to dance to, put their hands in the air, of course. And yeah, it always goes down well. And it's very colourful as well. And I think that's an incredible thing, an incredible note for us to leave any audience that we perform in front of with.
If you missed their chat, you can watch the full interview on YouTube. And finally, a filmmaker's looking for extras to appear in a scene in Canterbury this weekend. They'll be in the background of a bare-knuckle fight for a new gangster movie, which will be released on Amazon Prime later this year.
Kent Online Sport.
Kent's director of cricket says he's confident they'll be successful with plans for their women's team to turn professional. The club's put in a bid to the England and Wales Cricket Board. Simon Cook is hoping it'll come into effect from the 2025 season.
You don't enter a bid process to lose or to fail, so we are confident that we'll end up with a tier one team. We feel we've got the strongest bid because of Beckenham, and that is a huge asset for us. It gives women's cricket a home, a focus, where we can kind of launch the next phase of women's cricket in Kent. It's no other county has got that facility or a facility close to that. All the other bids will be based around playing a little bit at a home ground, playing a bit at an out ground, maybe in a school, and that's why we are confident, which is, you know, why we should be awarded a tier one.
It comes as the men's team prepare to get their county championship season underway tomorrow. They're taking on Somerset at the Spitfire Ground in Canterbury. Daniel Bell Drummond has taken over as club captain and says he's proud to be leading the team.
Yeah, it was the end of the season, really. The season was done and had appraisals, and obviously Sam Billings was stepping down and the club wanted to go in a new direction, and they wanted some senior players to stand up. And I was more than willing to put my name in the hat. And got a call from Simon shortly after saying that he wants me to be the club captain and championship captain. So it happened quite quickly, but yeah, it wasn't necessarily on the radar, but I'm very proud to be able to lead sort of my home club.
Last season, Kent narrowly avoided relegation from Division 1 in the county championship. Head coach Matt Walker says this year will be different.
I think for me it's about being as competitive as you possibly can. I think last year was a bit of a challenge around that with some of the makeup of the teams we had to put out on the field. Introduction of a couple of new young players and some challenging periods without our best team on the park, which can happen. I think with the squad we've built now, the freshness amongst this group, obviously Cookie coming in, with Daniel now as captain, two new support coaches, there's a sense of freshness. There's a real sense of anticipation around the group. We've signed three new domestic players, plus Jaden as a young player coming on the staff. I think we feel well set, actually, that we've got a squad that can really compete and really put ourselves in good positions to challenge in games from the start of the season. It's been quite hard to do that over last year at times, to really sort of, you know, I think we had to sort of almost think on our feet a bit and deal with what came our way. But actually, all being well, we keep a pretty fit squad this year. And we play with a sense of fun and energy and a real competitiveness. There's no sort of end goals. I think Deeb said it, mentioned it this morning, that it's game by game. It's obviously a huge sort of football cliche, but there's no prediction. There's no sort of, we're going to do this in this competition every game. But every game we turn up and we look to be as competitive as we can, really challenge ourselves to be as fiercely competitive as we can be.
Tomorrow's match is due to start at 11. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.